I just want people to know what's going on inside the occupation territories and also inside Israel about the situation, because actually the media in Israel and also our side is basing on lies and denying what's happening. No one really knows about the situation and the condition with the Palestinians. People are certain that the wall is going to build on the green line, which are the, supposed to be the border of the Palestine. But since 1967, it decided by the UN. And actually, the way that the wall is built is not on the green line. In some places, it's about 22, 24 kilometers far from the green line inside Palestine. And it's not about, it's not about security, it's about land grab, because the wall is annexing about 40% from the Palestinians' lands and from the good agriculture land and their water resources. And it's really important that people will know what's going on there, and
How does this affect the daily lives of people living in the occupied territory?
The way the war is affecting the Palestinians is, well, first we can talk to the about the Palestinians who are living near the villages where the war is being constructed, because on one level, for a lot of villages, it cuts them off from their land, from where they usually have the, where they make their living from. Then some villages are completely also isolated from other villages, and then they have problems with movement. If families are from other sides, hospitals, schools. Then there's a situation where villages that try to grow, you know, build more houses, they cannot anymore because they're completely surrounded by a fence and a wall. And it depends. Like on the first phase of the wall, where it's about 145 kilometers built already, there are like 15 villages which are caught between the wall and the green line. I mean, the green line, which is supposed to be the original border of Palestine, because they're not like, so even though they're left out of the wall, they're not Israeli citizens. So they have a problem of later on, you know, having any rights whatsoever, or even getting inside Palestine, like to the inside the wall, because you have to have special permits, and even to go to Israel, you have to have special permits, and usually they just get, you know, screwed from both sides. So they basically maybe will have to like move into inside the wall, so they can have like a normal livelihood where they can go to schools, hospitals, etc. Then you have the effect that a lot of the water resources and the and the agricultural land has been taken away, so they're having a problem of sustaining life even in the bigger cities, and also the fact that you're having a migration from villages into the bigger cities, or let's say big markets or towns where you had a lot of commercial life of transfer and exchange of goods with Israelis who were friendly with them, or even with Palestinians from around the areas, these places get shut down because they have no way of getting in or out. And the fact that, let's say, the fact that the way it's progressing and the plans that have been shown so far about the wall is to completely isolate Palestine from all sides by Israel, so it won't have any contact with any other country. But on the positive aspect, it's actually creating a situation where Palestinians are actually, because the Palestinian Authority and the political organizations like Hamas and Fatah showed little concern whatsoever to these villages, they decide to organize by themselves their resistance, and also using new methods where it enables them to have a more, let's say, higher level of democracy. It's not from political official, it's the village deciding together and inviting who they want, if it's Israelis or Palestinians, to work together against the wall. So on this part, it's enabling them to have a more direct political process happening, where they feel more empowered, and the fact is that they are getting some results, even though it might be minor and small, they're getting more results than they get got so far about the wall from the Palestinian Authority or from Hamas or organizations, which showed little concern. So on that aspect, it's actually changing the way things are dealt. I mean, also the fact that they're doing nonviolent resistance and actually achieving something with it, it's giving them more force for this kind of actions than actually using guns. Yeah.
So we get a picture of villages that are cut off from the rest of the world. So in the future, things will get worse, you think?
Well, yeah, things are getting worse, because even sometimes the effect of some of the places takes time. Because when the wall is built, you don't really feel sometimes impact immediately. You feel it once you try, let's say, when you're waiting for the harvest time of the olive trees, which is next year. And that's when you see that you cannot always go and harvest them. And it's really important to have a certain time to harvest them before it rots down, or it's like raining too much and it's hard to harvest. So in that aspect, they're not even sure how it's going to be sometimes. And, you know, so on that aspect, it slowly does create a situation where villagers slowly get more and more frustrated. And actually, in that area, they create a new hostility in villages which before were not even really political. I mean, they were like, sometimes the occupation, I mean, in the foreign news always seems as it's happening everywhere and everybody's aware of it. And to a certain degree, everybody is aware of it, but to different degrees. In the cities, they're much more aware of it. You have tanks. In the Palestinian cities, there's curfews, closures. But in a lot of villages, it's pretty, they're left more or less to themselves. They get problems when they try to get out of the village usually, but they do not feel the whole impact of the occupation. And sometimes there's also, like, you know, difference between the village and the city. I mean, village people say this about city people, city people talk about that, about the village people. But here it's actually creating the big impact of the occupation is hitting the villagers. So it's also creating a whole new association between city and village, where cities are also getting more involved about what's happening in villages and are trying to create demonstrations in support of the villages which are uprising. I mean, like Nablus or Ramallah was trying to be more active about it.
So something that is initiated from the Palestinian side, or is this a cooperation between, let's say, the left in Israel and the anti-Palestinian action groups that want to use non-violent measures against this wall?
Well, it's a combination of a bit all. I mean, it starts from Palestinians. They are the ones who are most concerned, and they're the ones who invite Israelis. But they know they can invite Israelis, so it's also a shift in this policy where they can do demonstrations together and reach a broader audience and a bigger spectrum, and also that maintaining a more civil demonstration style. But it always comes from the Palestinian villages. You'll never have a situation where internationals or Israelis will come to a village and say, okay, we want to do a demonstration here because there's a wall. It will be the Palestinian village, because they also have to suffer the consequences. If it's having their land confiscated, having more problems with the army, with the police, maybe in the future having permits to cross the wall or going to other areas, they're the ones that are going to suffer from it. It's always they are the ones who are deciding it. And it is also creating a stronger point for the non-violent resistance, which has always existed in Palestine, but in the last few years, especially from the beginning of the Second Intifada, was very minor, because it was all these political organizations saying the only way we can confront the occupation is through violent means, if it's militias, suicide bombers, etc. And now it shows that no, we can also do it differently.
Can you tell us for how long this is going on, these non-violent protests against the wall?
I think it's about for just over a year. I mean, it started very small, and then through different actions, just grew and grew. And now it's a situation where almost every village decides to do its demonstrations, and to do it on their own agreement, and sometimes a neighboring village will come in support. Each village tries to be non-violent, and in each village it's a new kind of way of dealing with stuff, so different results sometimes.
The support in Israel for these kind of actions, how is this? For instance, how is this portrayed in the media, in the national media?
Well, actually it was writing not so long time ago in the national newspaper. They said that about 65% from the Israeli population support non-violent direct, 75% from the Israeli population support actions against the wall, but in legal ways, and they're also not violent. It means that people are getting more and more aware to the situation. They won't do anything from their side, but they're supporting us as long as we're not doing it in illegal ways.
Are there also many people that want to join?
This is complicated, because there are a lot of groups of like left-wing in Israel, which are against the occupation, but they won't join those kind of actions. They're supported in like passive ways, or sometimes it's not so passive, but it's out of Palestine. It's like in Israel, in Tel Aviv, the big city, Peace Now demos, they're just holding signs and singing and talking about it, but most of the people won't take part in this kind of action, because, yeah, you know, it's dangerous and it's scary.
What sort of action are there against occupation?
Actions inside the territories, but it always attracts small groups of people because it's usually 24 hours at notice. It's hard to be creative and hard to get in, and it's hard to always do telephones around everybody and ask, you know. And then there are, like, bigger organizations who, like, create maybe a demonstration. They plan it 1 month in advance or so with a certain village, and they do some peaceful demonstration, graffitis against the wall. Then you have organizations that spread lists about how what products to boycott which are built in Jewish settlements inside Palestine. The Committee Against House Demolitions, which is an organization which is in Jerusalem, which helps, yeah, fighting the demolition of houses, because it's hard for Palestinians to get permits to build their houses for absurd laws. So, and every time they build, like, another room, because they cannot have, let's say, another house, because the legal administration won't let them have, Israeli legal administration, or the, for the plan, so they build an extra room on their house, and then the army comes and destroys the house. And also trying to work with people inside, villages inside the wall, which, you know, are certain to have house demolished, or schools, you know, forbidden from going from one place to another, so they also work. You have demonstrations inside major cities like Tel Aviv, where people do, like, peaceful kind of noise demos, and doing petitions, trying to bring the message across out, more like alternative demonstrations, even the bigger demonstrations, and also like making their own like noise demonstrations inside Israel, and also doing info evenings inside Israel and showing movies. And then there's also organizations who, like, you know, who try to work on a bigger level with sustaining our solidarity with Palestinians.
So a lot of things going on, and we also saw on your video that there are lots of people from outside Israel and Palestina joining in.
Mm-hmm.
Does this help? In what way?
Well, it works on a few aspects. First of all, it shows that we're not isolated, that there are other people who also are concerned about what's happening. And the presence is, it's on a moral level, it's very important. Then, on a practical level, internationals can go to places where Israelis cannot go. Like, there are areas in Palestine which is forbidden for Israelis to go to, and internationals can. Basically, the bigger cities in Palestine, which is considered like Area A, where it's forbidden for Israelis. So, internationals can go. Then, like, a lot of international organizations, because in some villages, it's still hard for them or new for them to work with Israelis. So the internationals kind of prepare the ground for working with other groups. And they can even have their base network inside Palestine, which is hard for Israelis to maintain. And also, like, spreading out the message, like, coming over, documenting, trying to help, and then going back to the countries and trying to create support overseas and creating pressure from outside, which is also very positive.
It's really important for Israelis to be there. Because, I mean, actually, first of all, for the Palestinians, it's really important that the Israelis be able to support them, because the Israelis are the one who put them in this situation, you know, they're the one who could conquer them.
Yeah.
And it's really important for the Palestinians to see that there's also Israelis which are support them and really care for them and really want to help them. I mean, it changed the whole image for them, because now it shows them that Israel, not all the Israelis are the enemies, and yeah, we can still work together and try to manage to do positive things together. So yeah, it's really important that there's Israelis there, and also, I mean, when Israelis are there, it changes a bit the situation with the soldiers, because then they cannot do what they just want to do and shoot the Palestinians, because if Israelis are there, it means also the media can get involved more easily, and they cannot just shoot them with live ammunition. They have to be a little bit more calm, and yeah, it's important.